Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to second service this morning on this first Sunday in February. Six more weeks of winter, according to Punxsutawney Phil or whatever his name is, the groundhog. So we're going to have six more weeks of winter. A week from Tuesday, it says snow. But it doesn't matter because many of you, if you're new here, first of all, you got to know this. I'm a Denver Broncos fan, and so that puts me in an odd position in this place. But I know we have a few Eagles fans. I think I have someone here that's willing to let me wear his Barkley shirt next week and would pay me $100 to do that. And so I don't know if there'd be any Chiefs fans that would want to raise the stakes on that. You couldn't pay me enough to wear the Chiefs jersey. So just want that to go on the record. Hey, here's what I do like about being a pastor of a primarily Chiefs audience. That is, when you do go to the Super Bowl, you guys come in a really good mood, really good attitudes. Next week, it's going to be lively. It's going to be exciting. It'll be fun because you're in a good mood. And so anyway, I don't know if you'll be in a good mood at the end of the week. But anyway, we'll see what happens. With the ref's help, you will be. So you should be okay. So anyway. Just kidding. Jeff Wells, just joking about the officials. Curtis, just joking about the officials. We like to have fun in here. If you're new with us today, we want to especially welcome you here. We're really serious about God, but we don't take ourselves very seriously. We're serious about His love and His plan for our lives. It's a joy to share in communion with you this morning and celebrate what Jesus has done for us and the reason that we can laugh and that we can have joy even in the midst of sorrow. It's been a tough week in so many ways, and our prayers are with those who are going through such great loss. It's been a tough week for our nation and our community. But we also, we rejoice and are grateful for the great things that God is doing as well, too. So let me tell you where we're going. Next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, Championship Sunday. The message is on being a champion, living life as a champion, which is more important than anything that can happen on a football field, but living as champions in our lives. And then secondly, the next 2 weeks, we're going to be going into a series called In Sickness and in Health and the Laundry. Is a little marriage series that we're doing for 2 weeks. Don't worry if you're single, there's something for you as well. It's about relationships, and there's principles that apply all across the board. So we're going to have fun in that series, In Sickness and in Health and the Laundry. And then the last week of that series, I've added one. We're going to do 1 week on parenting. I haven't really given that a title. Just good luck is maybe what we'll say with that one. And then I'm really excited for the next series as we head into Easter and even out of Easter. We're going to do a series entitled Just Jesus, and I'm really excited about the series Just Jesus, because that's why we're here. That's what we're about, is just Jesus. And we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark. We're going to look at the teachings of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the life of Jesus. It's all going to be about Jesus. I pray it's about Jesus each and every week. But in this series, in the study of the Gospel of Mark, we're going to do a deep dive into just Jesus and how he came to change our world and to change our life. Today, we finished out a series called Recharge. So this may be your last time. This may be your first Sunday here. They're standalone messages, so if you want to get anything else, you can go back and watch them. But each message is a standalone. Well, we are using kind of this theme of things that charge our devices or charge our cars. If we don't have our phones, our devices charged up, they don't operate well when the battery's low. Cars don't operate well when the battery's low or it's low on fuel. And even more so, our lives don't operate well when we're low on fuel, when we're low on battery. And so we're in this series called Recharge. And it's the last message of this series. And right out of the gate, I'm going to start out with a confession. And I'm going to start out with a moment of honesty and just share where my life is. Those of you who've been with us a while, for 10 years, hang with us. But here's just where I've kind of been and where I've been thinking as I'm processing. Because each and every week, I preach a message. I'm not preaching to you or at you. I'm preaching to us. It's what God's word has to say to us, not what I have to say to you. And so what this has been kind of dealing with in my heart, in my life, that I just have to be open and honest with you this morning is I haven't been following Jesus. That may be a little bit strong. I haven't been following Jesus lately. maybe that's still a little bit too strong. I'm not following Jesus full tilt, full throttle. I'm not operating on all cylinders right now. Now, first of all, I want you to hang with me, especially if you're new and this is your first or second time here. You're probably, even if you don't want to or you don't know if you want to follow Jesus or not, you probably at least like the guy talking to you to be a follower of Jesus. I get that. So hang with me. We're going to get there. Let me say it in a different way. Let me say it in this way. I asked Pastor Dustin if he'd get me a six-cylinder engine up here. I'm not a big car guy, so I'm really praying that this is a six-cylinder engine up here. I'm guessing these are the pistons, and there's six of those. And here's what I know is you've had someone say, hey, I'm firing all pistons today, or we're firing all cylinders today. And you've also, it's been said, I'm not firing on all cylinders today, or they're not firing on all cylinders today. It's not that I don't have a love for God. It's not, I love God. I to the best of my ability, I love him with everything that I've got. I want to please God. To the best of my ability, I want to please God with everything that I have. But if we're thinking about it in the way of cylinders, I'm not firing on all cylinders today, and I'll explain that in a moment. Here's what we know about an engine, at least what I experienced last year is our 2012 Honda Pilot. One of the pistons was not firing. Maybe two of the pistons weren't firing. And actually, I took it to Tony. Tony helped me. He looked at it and said, hey, yeah, there's a couple pistons not firing, but just so I can make a little bit more money, let's replace all six of them. And so, no, that's not the reason he did that. He said, you know, I don't know when the others are going to go out. You okay if we just replace them all at once? Then we're good to go. There's only one or two out, but they're old. It's probably time to replace them. So we replaced them all, and we're firing all pistons again. And kind of what I know about my car and what you know about your car is when it's not firing all pistons, it's jumpy at driving down the road at intersections. It was jumpy. It was throttling. It was idling funny. It was idling rough. And I'm sure the fuel efficiency wasn't good. It just was not operating the way it was intended to operate. Now, it doesn't mean it wasn't running at all. It was running. In fact, there was a part of me just praying and hoping, because none of us like spending money on, you know, maintenance. It's not fun. There was a part of me just driving a little bit, going, maybe it's just in my mind. Maybe it's just up here, and if just keep driving through it, maybe we can just plow our way through and get to the other side. We couldn't get to the other side, and I had to get help. And the other thing is I have a 2003 Chevy Silverado pickup, because when I moved from California, I thought, I got to have a pickup if I'm going to live in Kansas. And so I got an old pickup that I could take to the dump. I love this pickup. And for the last 10 years, the day one when I bought it, Jack helped me buy it, both of our vehicles when we got there, the check engine light was on. And it's been that way ever since. I drive with the check engine. In fact, when someone borrows my vehicle because they want to take it to go to the dump, I'm like, sure. You can. They're like, do you know your check engine light's on? Yes, the check engine light. It's always been on. I've had it checked, and it's probably just a computer glitch or something like that. So I don't worry about it. I do know my dad has taught me this, and I've passed this on to my girls, the limited knowledge I do know about cars. My dad has said, hey, if the check engine light comes on and it's yellow, you have it looked at, probably need it, but it's not an emergency. But if that thing is red, stop the car, pull over, don't go any farther at all. You have problems. It could cost you a lot of money. It could set you back. And so if you have the red engine, I pass that on to the girls. Happened to them, a couple years ago with one of them. Red light came on. I said, pull over, don't go any farther. Let's get the thing towed. Let's not take any chances here. These faith-firing pistons in my life, I think there's pistons that are firing, but I think in my life, and we'll talk about yours in a moment. In my life, I feel like there's a piston that's not firing, and that piston is keeping me from operating at full throttle. It's keeping me from operating at where God wants me to be, and God wants His best for me, and I'm treating this misfired piston like it's a yellow light that I can ignore instead of the red light warning that it probably deserves. Where am I going? What am I talking about? Here's the question I'm asking of you and me today. I'm asking of myself, I'm asking of you. Are you following Jesus? Are you really following Jesus today? Not do you love Jesus. I have a feeling 99% of you, maybe more, 100%, love Jesus. I have a feeling many of you are here today because you want to honor him and you want to please him. That's not my question. My question is, are you following Jesus? Are you firing on all cylinders? Are all pistons firing? What am I talking about? Well, to help us understand where I'm going this morning, let's look at the early disciples, the first disciples. And let's look at the very beginning of their journey, where it all started. You know, Jesus invited these 12 to come alongside him in a journey, and there was a start to this journey, and we're going to see the start today, and I think it's going to help us understand where I'm going today. Matthew 4:18, as Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. In this short three verses, there is so much packed, and there's some good news in here that we're going to draw out of it, and we're going to unpack that. But the overall big picture, big story, the thing that's screaming at us is what a superior of mine, a colleague of mine, a pastor of mine, some of you know him, Jim Bond, has said to me and other pastors. He has said this: are we really following Jesus if we aren't fishing? Because the first thing Jesus invited his followers to do was not read the Bible, although that's good. It was not teach him how to pray, which he did that. That's good. It was not even to go to the synagogue and go to the church with him. It was follow me. We're going to talk about that. Follow me was a simple instruction that he gave. And I wonder if sometimes in our life, in following, if you're here today and you're not a Jesus follower, you're still making a decision there. You don't know what you want to do there yet. I just want you to know you're in a great place. We're glad that you're here. This is a safe place. This is a great place to bring your doubts. If church isn't a safe place to bring our doubts, then where is a safe place? Jesus, one of his 12 disciples, was doubting Thomas. He was a doubter. I'm thankful that Jesus is comfortable with those who have questions and have doubts. So if you come here today with questions and you have doubts, that's totally okay. And if you're not ready for this, that's totally okay. We want you to believe, but it's okay if you're not ready yet. I'm talking, though, today to people that love Jesus, that profess to follow Jesus, that want to please Jesus. And I'm asking this question: are we really following Jesus if we aren't fishing? Are we operating on all cylinders? Are we firing on all cylinders? Or is there a part of your faith, if you're honest today, that you come in and you can't put a finger on it, but you're sitting there going, my faith is idling rough. My fuel efficiency is going well in my faith. I feel like that I'm jumpy. I just don't feel like I'm operating at full tilt. I wonder if it could be because there's something that is so important. The first thing that Jesus invited his followers to do, invites us to do, is to go fishing. So let's go back to the scripture. Matthew, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers and he said, come and follow me. First of all, I want to point out some good news this morning, is that Jesus, he chooses us. And he chooses not the best, the brightest, not the smartest, not the best. He chooses ordinary. In fact, in Acts, they were described as ordinary men. The fishermen were not the top rung of society. They were blue collar at best, but probably somewhere a little bit lower. And that's where Jesus went first. He said, I'm going to go to those who are willing, that will accept, that will say yes to me, that will follow me. And he sees them. And by the way, the good news is God always sees us long before we see him. In fact, we can't come to him without him coming to us first. And he comes to us. One of my favorite verses is John chapter 15, verse 16, that says, Jesus said, you did not choose me, I chose you. I chose you. You ever been on a team on the playground growing up? And maybe you were that kid that you were the second to last or the last one to be picked. Not the case in the kingdom of God. Jesus chooses us. He picks us. He offers us a place, and he offers a place for the ordinary. Jesus chooses us. He picks us, and he gives us all the invitation to come and follow him. It's an open invitation. And then they were casting their net in the lake, for they were fishermen. I love that Jesus meets people where they are at, not where they need to be. I love that Jesus invites us in this journey to follow him. He loves us just the way that we are, sin, warts, ugliness, and all. But he loves us too much to leave us there. I'm thankful that Jesus, when he invited the disciples, he didn't go to the synagogue and pray and wait. God, bring them to me. Bring them to me. Let them come to me. And then when they come, I'm going to share your love with them. I'm going to share my love with them. No, he went to where they are. Jesus shows up to where they are. And we want people to come. We're inviting people next week to Football Sunday. I'm not opposed to that or against that. But the way of Jesus was not to come, but it was to go, to meet people where they are, at the place that they are. In their brokenness, in their hurts, in their questions, in their doubts, to not try to bring them to where they are in their journey, but to join them where they are in their journey with this simple invitation, come and follow me. An invitation that's repeated again to Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told me, and Matthew got up and followed him. Jesus goes to an even greater level. At first, he invites the ordinary, but here he invites the sinner, the tax collector. In fact, Jesus, it said, hung out with sinners and tax collectors. Tax collectors had an own category of their own, because that's how bad they were. They weren't just sinners. It was the sinners and tax collectors. And Matthew was a Jew who collected taxes from the Romans. And he went to his own people, betrayed them, took taxes from them, gave it to the Romans. And what a tax collector would do is they had a certain amount they had to give back to the government, but they could decipher what they wanted to receive for themselves. So they were corrupt, they were dirty, they betrayed, they were ruthless. Matthew was a tax collector that stole and betrayed his own people. And Jesus shows up and says, I want you. Doesn't matter what we've done, Jesus invites everyone to the table. In fact, he launched the church with not only Peter, but he launched the church with the Apostle Paul, who persecuted Christians, killed Christians, put them in prison, beat them. And then Jesus said, I'm going to get Paul, because Paul's going to help launch this church. He chooses us. And he said, follow me. And I changed to the translation, the New King James Version here, because I love the translation better. The other said, and I will send you out to fish for men. This says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I love this promise that God promises us if we will follow him, he's going to do something. If we will say yes to him, if we will continue to say yes to him, if we will continue to follow him, continually saying yes to what he asks us to do, he gives us a promise that he will make us fishers of men. But we need to be obedient. They immediately picked up their nets and they followed him. I think it's important, not just what Jesus says and what Jesus does here. I think it's also important to look at what Jesus didn't do and what he doesn't say. Because sometimes there's something that we can gain by knowing what Jesus gave, a very simple instruction. He said, follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. I made a list of some things. I wrote them down. Some things that Jesus didn't say or didn't do. Jesus didn't give the whole playbook. He didn't give them a 10-step plan. He didn't even give them a next step. He didn't tell them where they would be going. He didn't tell them where they would be staying. He didn't tell them what kind of accommodations they would be in. He didn't say it's going to be the Marriott or the Hilton or Motel 6. He didn't give them that. In fact, he didn't offer them benefits, insurance, salary, compensation, nothing. He didn't even offer them lunch. At least he could offer them lunch. But his words were simply this, follow me. And they obeyed immediately. And then going from there, he saw two more other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Immediately they left. They left all they knew. They knew the fishing business. They left it. They left the comfort and the security of home and their father and the protection. They left not knowing what they would get. Jesus just said, follow me. And by faith, they followed him and said, we're going to go and we're going to leave everything behind. Our comfort, our safety, our security. And if we're honest, I think in our American Christianized culture, we often pray prayers. We often want a life that is what I call comfortable Christianity. We just want life to be better. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Yes, we want Jesus to make our lives better. But there's also something in following Jesus that there's a cost. We live in a broken world. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And he invites them into a journey and an adventure. And you know what? You can't enjoy an adventure if you don't take risks. If you don't jump out of the plane, if you don't take the black mogul, whatever those called, ski. I'm getting into territory I don't belong. If you don't take risk, God calls us to this, take this risk, but there's incredible rewards when we trust him. And I believe Jesus wants to take us on this thrilling, exciting, adventurous walk with him. But we can't know that adventurous, exciting walk with him if we don't put our feet in the water. So the question is, are we following Jesus if we aren't fishing? Is this really a piston in our cylinders that needs to be firing, or is it a yellow light that we can ignore, or is it this red light that we should be paying attention to? I think we can know a little bit by what Jesus did first. He didn't ask them to read their Bibles. This was important. He didn't ask them to pray. That's important. He didn't ask them to go to the synagogue or the church. That's important. He simply said, follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. We know that Jesus, in his parables, he talked about the lost coin, the lost son, the lost sheep. That if 99 are okay, he said, it's not good enough. 99 is an A+ in my book, but it's not good enough in Jesus' book. He's not satisfied when one more, he wants one more and one more and one more to know his love and his grace and his mercy in his life. Jesus himself said, I came. He told what his purpose was. His purpose statement is this: I came to seek and save that which was lost. We know that Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy and those who don't need a doctor. I came for the sick, those who are broken, those who need help. And we know that his last words, I also think the first thing that Jesus did, I also think the last thing that Jesus did, it says a lot about what's important to him. On someone's deathbed, on their what they say in those moments, I think is a lot of clarity in those moments. And Jesus, at the end, his last words were, I have given you all authority, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I command you. And then right before he ascended into heaven back to the Father, he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's power is going to come on you, and he's going to give you power to be my witnesses. Not power to do anything else. We can't change anyone's life. Only the Holy Spirit can change someone's heart and life, but we are called to be his witnesses, and we're called to share. So are we really following Jesus if we aren't fishing? And I wonder sometimes if our faith gets a little bit dull, or if our faith doesn't feel fired up and we don't feel a vitality and we're just surviving in our faith versus thriving. And I wonder if it's because, yes, we're able to run on 5 cylinders, but we're not on all 6 cylinders in the thing that Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to take the love that he's given us, and he wants us to share it with others. And I know at this point, there's probably some of you in here and some watching online, there's some excuses. And they're good excuses, because I've had these excuses, or some of these excuses. You know, that's not my gift. That's someone else's gift. You know, my gift is to encourage, or my gift is to teach. My gift isn't evangelism. My gift isn't, I'm an introvert, I'm shy. This is not my personality. And though all of us aren't called to be Billy Graham, we all are called to a mission of one. We're called to help others in our influence, in our sphere, see how much God loves them, how he's crazy about them, and wants to have a relationship with them. So the question comes back to, are we really following Jesus if we aren't fishing? And some may be sitting here today, Pastor, I get you, I understand you, Kent, I got it. But let me just state it how I do it. I'm just gonna be a good example. I'm just going to try to be that light in the office, at the school. I'm just going to let my light shine for Jesus. I'm just going to be a good example. There's a problem with that. One is this, is if we don't ever speak it, and if we're just that good example, then we become the idol. We become like, oh man, that guy's a great guy. Man, that's a great lady. Man, aren't they awesome? And instead of it being about God and about him getting the glory, we start receiving the glory. And the other thing is this. Paul said, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And I know, again, at that moment, you're sitting there saying, I'm out. I'm done. That's not what God's called me to do. That's your job. You're the one that's called to preach and some of the other pastors. But preaching means to proclaim. And we're all called to proclaim the good news. We're all called to share the good news. We're all called to do that for others. We're all called to share that. So what now? I'm going to hit into what now. So you've been looking at this sheet saying, do we got another 30 minutes of a message before we're going to get out of here? This goes really quick now, I promise you. If you'll pull this out, this is your sermon notes for today. And I just want to talk about simple things that I believe can help us take a move towards being a greater follower of Jesus. And it's called BLESS. I didn't come up with this, but I love it. BLESS stands for, number one, begin with prayer. This is the journey I'm on right now, that I just started with prayer. The number one thing is, and you can ask my wife what I've been praying for the last 3 or 4 weeks every day, is number one, you know, Lord, I'm sorry, I haven't been operating, I haven't been firing on all cylinders. I'm not trusting in you. I'm not really following you. Because a follower of Jesus goes fishing. A follower of Jesus, if Jesus invites you to follow him, he's gonna take you fishing. He's gonna take you to the water. He's going to put you in a boat. He's going to push that boat out into the water, and he's going to say, go fishing. Put out the nets. At least throw in a hook. Do something. Put some bait on there. A follower of Jesus is going to go fishing, and I just have to be honest with you. I have this occupational hazard that I live in and live with, is I am surrounded by awesome people every day and twice on Sunday. I'm surrounded by you guys on Sunday, and then I'm surrounded with these great men and women Monday through Friday. I'm surrounded with Christians at home. I mean, we have some great, awesome people that I get to work with. Pastor Nate, Pastor Christy, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Dustin, Randy, or maintenance, and Dr. Glover, and I'm missing Rachel in our office, and I'm sure I'm missing someone, but the bottom line is they do need help. And I'm praying for them because they need help, but not the help of coming to Jesus. And that joke didn't land good in the first service. So why did I do it in the second? If I had a third service, I would learn from that one. I have this occupational hazard. I'm surrounded by great people. And it's hard to have people in my life. Some of you are on the front lines. You're in places that people don't have faith like you. They don't believe like you. They don't act like you. They're different. And I say, praise God. You don't want to be in a place where everyone thinks like you, acts like you, believes like you, because that's not what God calls us to. But he calls us to show up and be where they are and join them in life. And so the second thing is to listen. Jesus showed up and he went to where they were. He didn't say, hey, get to church, and then I'm going to share my love with you. No, he went to where they were. And if we're really going to follow the example of Jesus, praise God that you're at school, in a workplace, in an environment where everyone doesn't believe in Jesus. Praise God, because Jesus loves them, and Jesus wants you to be his light for him and to be a vessel for him. And when we listen, it just means we're not having a relationship with someone to have a transaction. This isn't let's get a convert. This is, I love you. I want to have a relationship with you. Even if you don't believe, I still am your friend. And I just want you to know that God is for you and I'm for you. So we start by listening. And then my favorite one is to eat. I mean, this is something I can do. Is we can eat with, and what is it to eat with someone? When we eat with someone, walls break down. I don't know what it is about it. Jesus, the Last Supper, he broke bread, and he often broke bread with them, and he enjoyed fellowship with them. It can be going to a game, it can be watching a game, it can be golfing with someone, it can be, it's living life with that person, coming alongside them, enjoying them, which leads to a place when we find out more about them, we get to know them, we start to realize they have things that matter to them, struggles, ways that we can say, God, how can we serve them? How can we pray for them? How can we be a blessing to them? And the last one is story. And so often, sometimes we want to share our story, and people need to know how much we love them before we tell them what God's done for us. So it all goes together, and you might be at a different place. For me, I'm at that place. And if you want to look at your card here this morning, I believe that we're a church that is for the one. And I want to share a story to kind of put this into place. This is my friend Rick Harvey. He's our pastor in Bethany, Oklahoma, of a large Nazarene church of about 2,500. Busy guy, has about 50 staff members. And I have an annual meeting with he and about 25 to 35 pastors and their spouses, and we just share life. And he gave us an update on his friend Ashton this year. You see, the previous year, God had been to work in his heart and his life and say, you know what, you're living with the, you're preaching to the choir, you're living with the choir, you're around great people, and you know what, you need to have friends that aren't of faith, that don't know you. So he began to pray, God, bring someone into my life. God, give me someone that I can invest in, that I can love on, that I can be a friend to. And he brought this young man, Ashton, into his life, and he began to listen to him and began to eat with him and have lunches and share life with him. I think he served him in the way that this Rick doesn't lack for a busy schedule or things to do. But to serve people, it's going to cost you time. It's going to take energy. It's going to take an investment. And he's continued to serve him, and it opened up an opportunity for Rick to share his story of what God has done in his life and his faith in Christ. And this picture of Rick and Ashton is right after Ashton gave his life to Jesus Christ. Job done, right? Nope. He still meets with Ashton. It's not a transaction. It's not a, hey, we helped you cross the finish line and we're done. Jesus didn't say, go and make converts. He said, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I command you and walk alongside them. And by the way, something Rick said is I didn't start discipling the moment he gave his life to Jesus. Discipleship began the very first day we started a relationship. That's what discipleship is. It's going from here until the end. And so, we're a church that we talk about being for the one. And simply what that means is the small word of four, that three-letter word, packs great meaning. It means to be in favor of. And friends, we got a whole world out there that thinks that God's against them, the church is against them, or maybe they think God's for them, but they think the church is against them. How can they know that God is for them if we're not for them? If we're not in favor of them, if we're not engaging in relationship and friend and blessing. And so I begin to think about this for my life, but I begin to think about it for us. What if we each came up with a list of one to two to three names that we wanted to bless? What if you're like me right now and you don't have anybody that you're being intentional with? What if you don't even have anyone? You don't know where to... Just start with the beginning part. Say, God, I'm asking you to bring this person into my life. And just like Rick, I believe God answers those prayers. That's a prayer God wants to answer, and a prayer that he will answer. So we begin to pray, God, take me to the water. And it's gonna be different. It's going to look different. We can't keep doing... I just can't keep hanging out here at the office with these great people. And looking at you guys every single week. I love you guys, you're awesome. But I need more friends than what I got in this room. I need some friends that don't look like me, don't act like me, don't talk like me, don't believe like me. That I can just go to where they are instead of asking them to come to where I am, and just enjoying them, living in relationship with them. And I began to think about this. What if, and I begin to imagine, what if somehow these words that fell off the pages of this Bible and fell out of my mouth today, what if they landed? What if they landed, and what if we, the church, what if all of us begin to pray for our one? Some of you, you're in a workplace, you already have ones, but you're not being intentional with them. Or you're in a place that you've been in a relationship with them for 20 years, but you're just being that good example. And how are they going to hear if you don't share your story and what God's done for you? But what if? What if we and those online, what if Inspire Church, what if we did this? What if we all did this? What if just 50% of us did this? We put this list, we put it on our refrigerator, or we put it in our Bibles that we open up each day, or we put it on our mirror where we put our makeup on, but we prayed for that person every day, or we begin to pray that God would put those people in our life, or we begin to, God, how can I intentionally show them your love? What can I do to invest in their life? How can I serve them? What if we all did that? What if we all did that? What if 50% of us even did that? What if just 25% of us did that? If even just 25% of us did that, I think we could begin to sing the tune of Alicia Keys, "This church is on fire." Because I believe this, there's nothing that will fire up our faith and our church like lost people coming to Jesus. There's nothing that's going to fire us up, fire you and me up, like lost people coming to Jesus. When they experience God's love and forgiveness, when they realize God is for them and not against them, when they realize that God has a good plan for their life that wants to invite them into a journey, an adventure, the best adventure you could ever be on, a life following Jesus. But we're going to have to do some things differently. It's going to have to look different. I don't know what it's going to look like for me. I might have to go get a gym membership at Genesis or the Y when it opens, or that's probably too late. But I don't know what I'm going to have to do. I don't know if it's showing up in a coffee shop. This is a stab this week. We took at it because I need some friends. Pastor Aaron went with me, and I need friends. And I'm asking you to pray for me that God will give me some friends that don't look like you, that don't act like you, that aren't awesome like, well, they're awesome, but they don't know Jesus. And in fact, I don't want this message to be just something that is forgotten when we leave here, especially for me, because I feel like this is more for me than for anyone else. I'm inviting you along this journey, but I need some of you to start asking me each Sunday, how's your one? How's that going? Do you have someone? Are they on your refrigerator? Do you have a list? Do you have a person? And then once I do, I need you to start asking me each Sunday, hey, how's that going? Have you met with them? You had lunch with them? What are you doing? How are you serving them? I need you to do that for me, because I know my human nature. And if you don't do that for me, I'm likely to, in 3 or 4 weeks, kind of lose, like a New Year's resolution, lose my passion and excitement to do this. But I believe with the accountability of the body of Christ challenging me, and what if we challenged each other? And what if we just started off going, hey, just start off being a friend. Let God lead them you can't lead them to Jesus anyway. Only He can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So you're just called to, God wants you to be friends. It's so funny when we did do this week. Most of the drivers, I'm going to say 90%. I know how it feels to have one of these signs now. It's just like, don't look at them, don't look at them, don't make eye contact, don't make eye contact. I don't see you, I don't see you, I don't see you. The few that did, they didn't read it quick enough. It was just like, oh, and then on, you know, they wanted to be gracious. There was only like one person that actually looked at the sign and laughed because they understood, they got something, that there was something behind it. What says, I want to be your friend, better than a Bo Nix number 10 Broncos jersey? Hey, would you stand with me this morning? You guys are awesome. You guys are great. Pastor Brand's going to come close us out. Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would take the word that you've given to us today, the invitation to be followers of Jesus, not fans, not ones that just we love you and we want to honor you, but God, I believe you have for all of us a greater journey that you want us on, that you want to reach the world, and you want to reach one more. And Lord, we are your plan A. There is no plan B. So Lord, I pray that you would let our light so shine before men that they'll glorify our Father in heaven. I pray, Lord, that when the time comes, that you would give us, Lord, the words to just share our story of what you've done for us. And maybe for many that are maybe in the boat like me today, God, would you bring divine appointments into my life? Someone that I need them and they need me, that we need one another. We need this friendship, God. And to go on this journey together that leads towards you. Lord, we love you today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Pastor